So this evening, I just would like to take three little thoughts before you and maybe just have a word with you and let you think a bit about it. This gospel is, as I said, the completion of this Christmas celebration. And so we're at the baptism. And in the baptism today, there's a kind of an unusual dialogue between John and Jesus. John is the cousin. He's the baptizer. He's out in the desert, and he's proclaiming a message of repentance. He's saying to the people of Israel, you are a sinful people. And he's saying to them that they must repent. And so Jesus comes down to the Jordan, and he asks John for baptism. Now John, by the standard of Matthew here tonight, already knows that he's the Messiah, I guess, because he says to Jesus, I should not baptize you, cousin. You should baptize me. You're the Messiah. He doesn't say that, but, you know, that's the feeling. And Jesus says, no. Cousin John, baptize me. Go do that. And I thought about that. Why would that take place? Well, obviously, when he is baptized, he comes out of the water, and immediately the heavens open, the voices said, he is proclaimed, the dove, he's proclaimed to be the great Messiah, my beloved son. And so I think what might be behind this is something that's so human to all of us, and that is that unless Jesus went through that baptism, he would never have heard the proclamation. He would never have seen the dove. Now, that's by human standards, and you can take it any way you like. But it strikes me that this was such a human thing to happen, so that Jesus not only preached repentance, but he went out with a really different message. He went out to preach the gospel of belovedness. He went to the prostitute. He went to the people in jail, as the first reading described today. He went to the people who were broken and separated and distanced and pushed aside. Those are the people that Jesus, at this beginning of his public life, walks forward, having been proclaimed, realizing that he is the beloved of God, the Son of God. How do we come to proclaim that in our own lives unless we experience it first in us? Let me give you a little secret. From Thanksgiving to Christmas Day, I gained 12 pounds. Now, I'm fierce about weight because I went on this big program and I never, never, never want to go back. I don't want to go back to Lucy, actually, because she's the one that really rules the roost, and she'd kill me. Well, she wouldn't kill me, but she'd be upset. So, you know, I'm a gun shy now. I mean, if I was really feeling good about my weight, I might come up to you and say, hey, brother, you're a little overweight. You better get with it. I'm not doing it now. I'm full of sympathy, you know, because I'm experiencing the struggle. So it's coming out of my experience. I have a little more compassion for that struggle that I would not have had I not experienced. It is the same in our life. If we work, as an example, in prisons, and we go in and we feel lousy about who we are, what kind of a proclamation are we? We look for lousy. That's what we do. And so it is so important, it seems to me, right at the beginning of this public ministry, that somehow this Christ comes to see he is the beloved. And as the beloved, he goes out and finds, sees, proclaims that to each person he meets. Does that make sense? Isn't it true when we're feeling lousy? The world is lousy. I felt terrific today, as a matter of fact. And For me, the big struggle is I wake up every morning and I get into this snarl about all the things I have to do. I got up 4:30 this morning and I was on my bike. And I'm riding down that bike path. And honest to God, I was the weight of the world was on my shoulders. I'm sure I was stooped over like this, you know. And all of a sudden, there wasn't a soul out there this morning. Sunday morning, that bike path is just pure. You see the light, you know, the Ferris wheel beginning to pop up now around near five. The thing starts, you don't know that, but it does. It starts flipping around five. And it dawned on me. How will I be able to face this day? How will I be able to say you're the beloved sons and daughters if I'm weighted down by my fear, with my anxiety, with the things that bother me, my addiction, my struggle, my darkness? So somehow, it dawns on me every morning, but it takes a while. It dawns on me every morning, I am not doing this, Lloyd Torgerson, by myself. And then when God is with me, the things I fear most, the things that I'm so anxious about, the things that I wake up to, become at the end of the day the very thing that I probably am most grateful finally for in the day. So it's somehow restoring that belovedness in order to be able to see that in those we meet. That's the first thought. My second thought, and this won't take too long, that every one of us, I think, believe, we come here every Sunday, and I hope, if you don't believe you're beloved when you come out of this church, I don't know what else to say to you. Because, I mean, we beloved you all over the place from beginning to end. I mean, we work you over from beginning to end with belovedness. That's what we do. Because we specialize in sinners. Yes, we do. But even amidst that original blessing that we all have, you and I know there is a profound curse. A curse in our lives and a curse in this world. Look at what happened in Tucson yesterday. It overwhelms me when you see these dark things that protrude before a nation and before a world. And we are all capable, my brothers and sisters, all of us, of doing destructive things in our life. Not that, but destructive things in our life. So there is that original blessedness, but it is always placed in the context of who we are. It's in the pegginess of your life that this belovedness is rooted. So there is always that struggle of going to that original blessing and understanding the profound darkness that so often can overwhelm us. And we must be aware of that. We must be vigilant each and every day of our lives so that we don't follow that course, that draw that can so easily take us by our addictions, by our struggles, by our negative thinking, by our sin, by wounding ourselves and others. We're drawn into that. But it is in the context of that you and I tonight are told. And my last thought. It's from John Jay. Love John Jay. He's got some great things. This is what he says about that story. Now remember, the dove. You know the story? John, Jesus, comes out of the water. Immediately, he's the heavens open. Dove. Immediately, he's proclaimed. Okay. He compares it to another dove. Listen to this. In the scriptures, the first book, Genesis. In Matthew's story, the dove makes a direct descent. And the beloved child of God is instantly identified and is bestowed in a revelatory moment of an accompanying heavenly voice. That's what happened. But I like to think, he says, of another dove. A dove that came in three stages. The foray of three stages. In Noah and the ark. Remember the story? First, The dove goes out and finds no land. The water still fills the earth. So the dove comes home. It has no place to rest. Goes out, comes home. Returns to the ark. Its only refuge from this destructive fires and waters. Our first attempts to understand. Our first attempts to understand. And to make our own the child belovedness of our God. Our identity is often unsuccessful. Isn't it? Yes, it is. It is for me. So we scurry back to safety. Next, the dove returns. Noah sends the dove out. And this time, the dove returns in its beak with an olive branch. Ah, the waters are subsiding. There is some hope. We begin to see signs of new possibilities, but we're not there yet. And finally, we do not return when the dove is sent out for the third time. It has found a profound place to stand. Once again, as in the act of creation, God has created land out of the chaotic waters, and we find a place to stand against the destructive sea. The place we are standing is called the beloved child of God. Oh, my sisters and brothers, I hope tonight every single one of us in this beautiful church, surrounded by the lights of Christmas, will stand in the belovedness of our God. And so, does it come once? Does it come quickly? Does it come dramatically? Probably not. That's why we need each other. That's why we need to return. That's why we need regularly to be reminded of who we are. I invite you tonight to walk in the great power and the gift of a loving God that walks with you. Yes, even in the darkness, walks with you every step of the way.